Okay, welcome to my talk. My name is Reinhard Max, and I'm inviting you to join me in taking Tickle Networking to the next level. First of all, I want to tell you a few things about myself. My first contact with TCL/TK must have been around 1996. In 1997, I joined SUSE, have been there for almost 25 years now. And I maintain the RPMs of TCL and TK and all the extensions for SUSE since 1998. Besides that, I maintain a few other packages, which you can read here. And I've worked on the socket command before I started what I'm doing now with it, but I'll get to that a bit later. So now you know something about me, and I want to know a little bit about you. Who in the audience has used the socket command before in TCL? Okay. Do we also have people who have done socket communication at the OS syscall level? Okay, not so many. Who wants UDP in the core? Hands up. UDP in the core. Okay, do we have people who would also be interested in having more access to other networking protocols, such as raw sockets and stuff like that? Okay, even that. So, we will get there. Some history about networking in Tickle. So, Jacob Levy originally implemented the socket command, and I must say he did a very good job there. With the syntax, and it can be used very easily. Then Scott Stanton and Modi Young and some others improved it over time. Daniel Steffen and Jim Ingham improved the Mac port. And then 2010-ish, I took it on and rewrote parts of it to get IPv6 support in, and with that also came support for domain names that resolve to multiple IP addresses, might be IPv4 and IPv6, but could also be multiple IPv4 and IPv6 addresses. Before, the socket command only ever tried one of them, and with that change, it tried all of them until one succeeds. Yeah, and then, where is he? Harald Oehlmann subsequently helped me to get it right on Windows because my main focus naturally was on Linux and Unix. So what do we have now with the socket command? As most of you know, there is client socket that we can tell it to do asynchronous connection. There are a few more options that I've left out here for clarity. We give it a host, we give it a port, it returns us the socket, we can talk to it. We can open server sockets, give them a callback and a port number to listen on, and we get called back on the callback function and can then work with the client that connected to us. So, several years ago, I don't know where I saw it. Was it on the chat? Was it on a conference? Was it on Complang Tickle? Somebody said, compared to other languages, Tickle's socket command makes network communication so easy that you always think you missed something. And I think that says a lot to the design work that originally Jacob Levy did on this command. And there is another quote that I've heard many times in the Tickle community, but there is still no UDP in the core in 2022. It wasn't also in 2020. So let's have a closer look at what socket currently can and what it can't do. So the pros are, as we have shown, it's very simple to use, more convenient than using the OS level APIs directly. It has cross-platform abstraction, which is especially important for Windows, where the socket API exists basically, but notifications are completely different to Unix. It's well established in the TCL community, and it has been used successfully to implement many different network protocols on top of TCP. But there are also cons, which is it's TCP only. It's built using TCL channels, which are inherently stream-oriented, and as such, they are not a good fit for implementing packet-based communication, datagram-based communication like UDP. It has only limited access to the different settings that are possible with functions like setsockopt. It has been improved recently, but currently you would each and every you would have to implement a wrapper for each and every setsockopt option you want to support for the socket command. There is no separation between name resolution and the actual socket handling, which means even if you are working non-blocking asynchronously, every time you want to connect to a server, name resolution, if it takes a few seconds, will stop your event loop from running. And there is no way around that with the way the socket command is currently implemented. Name resolution is always synchronous. So what do we have in the TCL community in terms of UDP? There are several extensions. None of them is in the core yet. I've named a few here. I didn't have, when starting this work, I didn't have a closer look at them because I wanted to take on a more generic approach that doesn't stop at UDP but also supports other stuff, supports basically everything that's possible with the OS levels, with the OS levels socket API. Some of them don't yet support IPv6 or only had it kind of put in as an afterthought. It's often not an integral part of the API of these extensions. So, let me show you my approach. What I think would be the best way to have it flexible. I want to have created a thin layer of C code around the OS level APIs to bring them into the script level and then enable the TCL programmer or the TCL library author to implement everything that socket does now and similar functions in pure TCL. It's not primarily intended to be used directly by application programmers, but by people who write, let's say, functions for or packages for TCL-lib to wrap that into more convenient functions and be able to do that without touching C. Yeah, it can be used, and I have used it to re-implement the socket command as a proof of concept so that I can prove and can see myself, does this approach work? And it can be a building block for other such functions. For example, maybe a UDP responder that is implemented as a coroutine so that you can program it and if it was synchronous, but under the hood, it's asynchronous. So, second part. In my world, the sockets are not channels like in the socket command, but they can be wrapped into sockets either through the C-level channels. They can be wrapped into channels either using the C-level channel API or the script level, as I've done in my example, the script level reflected channels from Andreas Kupres. Yeah, there are send and receive functions, take and return tickle byte strings, so they should be usable also for binary UDP protocols, for example. Name resolution and socket handling are separate. So, somebody could just take the name resolution in a separate thread to make it asynchronous or provide alternative event-based resolvers to get around the problem I was telling before, that name resolution stops the event loop from running. So, what does it look like? I've created a command getAdderInfo that basically works the same as the getAdderInfo C function. It takes a host and a port, and optionally one can specify the address family, the socket type, stream or datagram, and stuff like that. And it returns the relevant parts of the struct error info at the C level. So address family, sock type, protocol, and then the address and the port number. There will be an example in a minute. I've created a debugging command that turns the numbers for address family, sock type, and stuff like that back into readable symbolic names. Then the socket, which is not the existing socket command, gets called with such an adder info list, takes the first three arguments and creates the socket. Then the same adder info gets passed to the connect function, which takes the last two arguments, which are IP address and port, and connects to that. You've got a question? Yeah, this is still a bit raw. One reason why I've done it this way is that it internally is a tickle object type of its own. So I'm keeping these struct adder infos internally, and only if you turn them into a string, it looks like a list. Yeah, maybe I could change the string representation to be a dict, and that actually might make, I will get to the shortcomings of this representation in a moment. So yeah, that might actually be a good idea. So we connect, and we have I've created similar wrappers for all the other C-level APIs that you can read here. So basically, you shouldn't need much of tickle side documentation about this, because they are all supposed to work just like the C functions. There are a few exceptions, but there I try to make it as natural for tickle as possible. And otherwise, you can just refer to the C API documentation. Yeah, one thing I was considering back and forth are, how do I represent the symbolic constants? I could have put it into my C code to take strings and turn them into numbers, but for now I went a different approach. I'm not entirely satisfied with that, but maybe there are people who have better ideas, as we've just got one. So what are we talking about? These socket APIs take such preprocessor constants that turn into numbers 1, 2, 3 to tell the operating system what kind of sockets they want to create. And of course, the programmer wants to use the tickle programmer wants to use this as symbolic names, but we have to pass it down to the OS as numbers. So what I've did is I'm putting I'm including the headers that contain these mappings, and then outputting the preprocessed headers, parsing the output, and create such mappings. I do this while building the package on the fly because the numbers are sometimes different between different OSs. Not completely different, but there are subtle differences. And for example, as I found out, as others were testing it on Mac, Mac supports much less socket options than Linux does, for example. So we have to do this in an OS specific way. I know there are different approaches. This is how I did it now to get forward with it. It might not be the final solution. Yeah. So with these commands, I can set soc data instead of soc underscore datagram. I set soc command. With the argument datagram, and it says 2, and I can say reverse soc 3, and then I get raw, because 3 stands for raw sockets. Yeah, as I said, this was my quick and dirty solution for the proof of concept. It might change, let's see. So, some examples. I call get error info, say soc type soc stream, to example .com port 80, and I get back this list. So these are IPv6 stream and TCP. I've shortened the IPv6 address so that it fits into one line, and this is the same for IPv4. So now I take the IPv4 part and put it back into show adder info, and it tells it to me in a readable form. But internally, as long as I don't print them, the socket command would get the binary representation of this C structure that gets returned by the C getAdderInfo function. And this socket command returns me just the file descriptor number. This is also something that I planned to change, but it was easier for getting things started. So now I call connect again with this file descriptor number and the same struct. This time these three get ignored and these two get taken to pass them to the connect syscall. And then it doesn't return an error, so it was successful. I can get call get soc name on that same socket, and I see it got connected to this address and picked this. No, it got. This is my local address that it got bound to, and this is my local part number, and the remote parts are the ones I was requesting there. And then I can close it again. So, on top of that, yeah?
Another heretic question. Will there also be support for no link and no wait socket options?
I said there will be support for all socket options. Oops. Okay. Then I was planning to have a live demo on UDP. Let's move that to a break for those who are interested. So I rebuilt the socket command on top of this API. It implements everything except for asynchronous connections, which is the most complicated part, and I left it out for now. But it's certainly possible. It passes the core socket test except for the asynchronous part. It reveals some missing pieces in RefChen. I'll skip those as well for time reasons. And then we can do UDP or local sockets. The live demo will be skipped. So lessons learned and what is there to do. I realized that getAdderInfo only supports IP and IPv6, but no local sockets, no netlink sockets and whatever. So my approach to take the return value of getAdderInfo turned out to be not optimal for those cases. I'm redesigning this, and yes, using a dict instead might be a good idea. They are too inflexible. I plan to use better tokens than file numbers because somebody, through my close command, could close the underlying file descriptor of any channel in Tickle, and we don't want that. I haven't tested much with UDP and Unix domain sockets yet, but as far as I tested them, they work. Also, no testing went into out-of-band data yet, but it might need a little changes, so that could work as well. I noticed that Linux supports way more socket options than OS X, and I'm asking for help. I got it started. I can't do all myself. For Windows sockets, I already talked to Harald, and he referred me to Ashok. For improving reflected channels, I will be talking to Andreas Kupris. I'd like people to test this and give feedback, especially on platforms besides Linux. As I said, I'm not yet glad about the solution for the symbolic names, so I'm open for suggestions there. Better ideas for representation of the socket tokens, better ideas for addresses, we've mentioned that before. I've not done any performance comparison yet. It would be interesting to see how the RefChain-based sockets compare to the C-implemented sockets.
More question about RefChains. To my experience, RefChains are usually not... I cannot use them as redirection targets to exit or something like this.
Yes, that's something I also noticed. I've had difficulties moving channels, ref channels, to a different interpreter, which is similar than that. So yeah, we need to work on that. So any more questions? Yeah, I mean, one reason for not doing that yet was I didn't want to create stuff that might not be needed. Because then always, if you create the string representation, you get stuff you might not need. And I wanted it to be as resource saving as possible. Yeah.
So,
yeah, there is certainly room for fine tuning there.
Some comments to the application there. There's also an Abu server out, which has many protocols that supports whatever from ICMP over UDP, over QAP, for example, IMAP, and so on. It's a multi protocol server, and certainly everything is programmed there in C. It has addressed many of the questions there, but it's not using that decay IO system, it's just their own C layer.
Yep.
One thing which we have not there is DTLS. Have you thought about DTLS? I mean, is TLS over UDP?
No, I haven't looked into that one.
I mean, many of the cloud. they want to have package communication, but everything has to be encrypted. Therefore, the trick there is that you need a stronger integration for doing it reasonably with a crypto library. And the easiest case there is to go to OpenSSL or its counterparts. And it requires there actually a low-level design. And from this point of view, I think it's also useful in your stage to think about what does it mean for this.
Yeah, that's true. I completely left out encryption out of the picture for now.
I don't think it's feasible to do it on top of the. It's not so simple to, with all of the details of the protocol, to make after little code handling it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if a security library implements an API that is similar to the C-level socket API, I can just put my code on top of that instead of the C-level. Yeah. Okay. So, if there are, Harald. Right, let me just repeat it for the online audience. I forgot that with the other questions. Harald is saying that error handling is important and that error handling often gets lost in the channel layers, especially in RefChain. And yes, I can second that. It was quite hard. So my approach was to work on my socket wrapping code. And always run the test suite and try to fix the errors one by one. And sometimes I had to put a lot of printf debugging in there to find out what's actually going wrong. Because maybe RefChance and also the test suite sometimes hides errors and eats up stack traces that would be useful. If you're working on the code that is supposed to at some point pass these tests.
Thank you, and of course I'm ready to help you and so on.
Thanks a lot.
The best expert at the moment on Windows socket is Ashok.
Okay, I'll talk to him.
IOCP for Windows, which is a new implementation for the socket, and that should also go to the core, so we could.
Going into the core is a good point. So my intention is to have this maybe in 8.7 as an option, living somewhere in the :: TCL namespace for trying it out for those who are interested, and having it, if we get it there on time, have it as a replacement for the socket command. With the socket command wrapper, if ref chains are not up to the job, we could also wrap it at the C level, have it as a replacement for socket in 9.0, and also have there the low level API available for those who want to produce new convenience functions. And I think we are way over time now. Thank you.